ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. There's one dhaba prasadam that you can kindly bring. Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 411, is Prithu. Very well-known name. Of the Shaktya Vaishavata, the form of the Lord, or the personality is who is imbued with the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to rule as a king, ideal king. Palana Shakti, maintenance, king's basic duty is that to keep everything in order. And of course, Prithu, first, before he kept everything in order, he had to put everything in order. There are many revolutions in modern life, political, military revolutions, noting that things are not as they should be. Sometimes the citizens or rise up, or sometimes there's a military coup. But they never put things, they never make things better, actually. Well, sometimes they do. But not to the ideal standard. Sometimes, yeah, sometimes things get better in some ways. Often they get better for a short time and then they get worse again. As the new rulers become infected with the same exploitive qualities as the ones they had just thrown out. But actually this name Prithu, the commentators, they ascribe this name to Prithu Maharaj, the king. He's described in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in one of the longest sections of Bhagavatam. And he will be, all these personalities, who are major personalities who are described in Bhagavatam, are also described elsewhere in Shastra. Mostly all the personalities who are described in Bhagavatam are at least described in Vishnu Purana also. But the commentators on Vishnu Sahasranam give that as the meaning, as Prithu Maharaj, as one of the secondary meanings. And that is actually a name of Vishnu. This is the original form of the personality of God, here taking original in a different sense to Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. He is Prithu because he's famous. There are two main meanings. One, that he's famous, and another means widely spread. So widely spread can also mean fame, but actually the Sanskrit derivation of it is of famous comes from prakhyana, not from widely spread, which is pratita. So although pratita could be prata prakhyane, he becomes famous. So all these names, they have meanings. They're not just some meaning which is arbitrarily imagined, but they all have, they can all be understood from the Sanskrit language has word roots from which all words are expanded. And Sanskrit language is eternal, as Vishnu is eternal, and knowledge about him is eternal. So Vishnu Sahasranam is also eternal. And many, many more names can be made by, not exactly made, but discovered or broadcast, revealed, simply by studying the Sanskrit language. And practically every word can be explained as Vishnu, apart from names which are names like Yashoda Jivana. You can so to say, make-up names. I don't know if that had appeared elsewhere previously. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his songs, praises Krishna as Yashoda Divana. Quite likely it's in some other writing somewhere or some devotee. But then we find that in Chaitanya Charitamrita there are some names which are, it's stated they became names just after some particular pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That Gadadhara Trata, something like that. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also gives many names which maybe had not been seen before. Gadadhara Madana, Ramananda Poshana, and so on. So anyway, this name means famous, and there's no doubt there's no one more famous than Krishna, and there's not even anyone who comes close to being as famous as Krishna. And there are many who are very famous, far more than anyone in this world is famous. Yesterday I spoke on Narendra Modi. He's a famous person. He won't be famous forever. Hare Krishna. He wasn't famous 70 years ago. Of course, he wasn't born at that time. And quite possibly 70 years from now, he won't be very famous either. Not as famous as he is today. But the great devotees who are famous, Garuda, Sudarshan, Sudarshan Chakra, these are all personalities also. And then Devaki, Yashoda, they're eternally famous because that is their eternal form, and they're in relationship with Krishna. So they're much more famous than anyone in this world because they're famous throughout the universes. And they're famous not just for a short time, because their forms are eternal, whereas the present form of Narendra Modi, I'm just using it as an example, it could be anyone else of the, how many, 7.5 billion or so people on this little ball floating around in space, hurtling through space, called Earth in the English language. Well, hurtling through space, maybe that's a modern astronomical idea. Actually, it's all under the control of Krishna. they're eternally famous. There's Kevayam Nama Rupabhyam Yadubi Sahapandava. Kunti Devi says, when we're out of contact with you, Krishna, then all our name and fame will be finished because it's all dependent on you. But the good news is that the Yadus and the Pandavas, they're never out of contact with Krishna. The name and fame of anyone in this world is contingent upon the present circumstances, which will change, just as in a kaleidoscope. In a kaleidoscope, there's one pattern is seen, and then the next second, another pattern is seen. The old one is gone, never to be seen again. But Krishna's pastimes go on eternally in all the universes, in this material world, and they are facsimiles of Krishna's original pastimes in the spiritual world. So he's most famous. Both in time, he's famous, past, present, and future, way, way back in the past, which we can't even imagine. And the future also, he'll be famous. And the future becomes the past, the future. And the past becomes the future, as time cycles round and round. So Krishna's famous in all phases of time, past, present, and future. And he's famous in space also, and a great amount of space. On this planet at the present time, Narendra Modi is famous, although I'm pretty sure far more people in the world have not heard of him than have heard of him. That's maybe true of Krishna also, on this ridiculous planet. Although people have heard of God, they may not understand who he is. But on other planets, they know. The demigods know. And the demons in the lower planets, they also know about Krishna. Not in all the planets, but at least in some of them. But anyway, this whole material world is a condemned place anyway. And if the people in the prison are not aware about the president of the country, and it doesn't bother the president of the country or any other decent citizen. In the prison, they all take a vote. We don't believe in any president, and what does it matter to the president or to the functioning of the society? Not the people in the prison think. Krishna certainly, he's famous, means he's linked with he's the whole. Like we're saying, Yashoda Jivana, he's Gokula Jivana, Vaikuntha Jivana, he's the very meaning of everyone's existence in the spiritual world. They're all there because they want to be with him. They want to serve him. He's the center of everyone's attention. They're all very interested in him. So, other meanings, Prithu, broad, great, large. And of course, that can be given in the sense that he is spread everywhere. His form is very big. In his impersonal feature, Maya Tatamidam Sarvam Jagada Vyakta Murtina. He's spread widely by his as the universe. His personal forms are also very large. Mahavishnu, generally here in this part of India, the Vishnu temples, they like to have very big deities, especially the reclining deities. Sometimes you need three doors to open to see the deity. That's just symbolic of how big he actually is. Of course, his murti form is non-different from him. But that's, as I was just hearing from Srila Prabhupada, he comes in a form by which we can reciprocate with him. As Srila Prabhupada sometimes joked, if Krishna is the whole universe, so if he came in the size of the universe, then you have to dress him, then all the clothes shops will be finished. But he comes in a size that you can handle him, literally. So we can reciprocate with him like that. So he's very huge, detailed. That's one of the meanings from the Sanskrit dictionary of Prithu. It's detailed. So all details also. Detail means we can translate that back into Sanskrit as a detail is a vishesha. Visheshta, a specialty. So he is one entity, but at the same time he's extremely detailed and nuanced, and everything that's to be known is to be known in relationship with him, and everything that's to be known is only because of him, so it's extremely detailed also. So very simply we can say Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To understand that in depth, well, there's Vishnu Sahasranam, which gives a start, and we'll never get beyond the start, because his glories are unlimited, so even if we unlimitedly praise him, it's still only a fraction of his glories. Usually if we divide something by itself, we get one. Well, that's true. Unlimited divided by unlimited equals one. That's Krishna. But that one is also unlimited, remains unlimited. This is transcendental mathematics. Important, that's another meaning of prithu. Well, that's an understatement, isn't it? If we say someone is important, that means in relation to others. It's all relative, isn't it? That also suggests that others have importance. If we say someone's important, that means they're more important than someone else. But in the case of Krishna, his being important means he's absolutely important, and then anyone else's importance is only in relationship to him. His importance is not in relationship to anyone else. He's independent. It's not that he's a little bit more important than anyone. But his important means he's vital, essential to the existence of everyone and everything. So other meanings, abundant, dexterous, that will come up again soon, daksha, numerous, clever, that can also be said to be daksha. Some other meanings from the Sanskrit dictionary are fire, that's also the name comes up in Vishnu Sahasranam, Anala. One meaning is opium. Another meaning is black cumin, which in Hindi is called kalanji, I think. Sometimes they call them onion seeds for some reason. Sometimes it's translated into English as onion seeds, although onions don't have seeds. And if you plant those, you won't get onions. You'll get plant which gives more of the. Kalanji. So prithu means famous. In the Bala Kanda of Ramayana, tesham atiyashe loko Ramaha. Rama was among all of them, Rama was the most reputed. And it doesn't give the context of who all of them is, quite likely the three brothers also. So the Vishwarup is well known. So that way he's famous, and he's also widely expanded. So both the meanings go there for the Vishwarup. Next name is Hiranyagarbha. This name has several meanings. Oh, wait a minute. I have to go going back to Prithu. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives, as he often does, a meaning quite different to that of other commentators. Not always, but often he does. So he gives the meaning of Prithu as being he generously considers his devotees equal to himself. How it's derived from the Sanskrit, I don't know, because I only have the translation here. So that's a great quality of Krishna, especially. We also find in Vishnu that he grants his devotees or certain devotees are in relationship as with Sarshti, Sarupyam, Salokya, Samipyam. He allows them to have the same opulence as himself, to have the same almost form as himself, to live with him personally, and to live on the same planet as him. So in that way, he likes his devotees to be equal with him, in as much as he doesn't think, well, I'm God and I'll enjoy and everyone else shall suffer. But he thinks, let everyone enjoy. Sarve sukhino bhavantu. That is Krishna's message. Let everyone be happy. We find, especially in his Vrindavan pastimes, that he often takes a role as if he is just one among the people of Vraja. In the sense that many times he doesn't exhibit his strength and allows himself to be defeated in play wrestling with his friends. Allows himself means he doesn't think, well, actually I'm much stronger than all these, but anyway, I'll just let them win because that'll make them happy. But being overcome by prem, by pure love for his devotees, then his yogamaya potency actually makes the friends of his as if to be actually stronger. So he treats them as equal. That is his kindness. Then Hiranyagarbha, yeah, there are several meanings for that. Generally, that's considered to be the creator. This name is often given to Brahma also. So it's very clear that Krishna is the ultimate creator, although Brahma also creates as a secondary, sarga visarga. That's topics of Bhagavatam. The first two topics are described as being the creation of the material cosmos and visarga, the subsequent creation. So Brahma, he is the creator of the subsequent. He takes the ingredients which are already manifest and sorts them all out, and the living entities who are injected, they're transferred from the body of Garbhodakshai Vishnu by the sexual act of Shambhu with his consort Shakti. They're injected into the cosmos, and then Brahma creates the forms in which they may take, and he also, by expanding himself as the various Prajapatis, they manifest various forms. So Brahma, this is the subsequent creation. The ultimate creator is Krishna. Hiranya means gold, and Garbha means embryo or stomach. Stomach in the sense not of, womb. Womb is a better term than stomach. Although they're in the same place, almost. So, another meaning of this could be he has got gold inside, waiting to be manifest. So, we may speak of someone as having golden heart, gold inside. So it's all nice. Krishna's not just nice on the outside, he's nice on the inside. Sometimes people look very nice on the outside, but they're not. Or they may behave with us very nicely, but it's just to lure us so that they can exploit us. But Krishna is outside very nice. He looks very nice. Everything, all the senses, they can be charmed by Krishna, by the eyes charmed by seeing him, the ears by hearing the sound of his flute or hearing his names, the nose by smelling his bodily scent. All the senses are charmed by Krishna, and his very personality is very sweet also. Otherwise we may find a woman is very beautiful, she seduces a man, but then she has some other purpose. As Srila Prabhupada explained about this, Vishakanya, the girl from a young age is given slight doses of poison, so she becomes immune to it. But her whole body becomes filled with poison to the extent that when she's older, she's sent to some political enemy and seduces him and kisses him, and by the exchange of saliva from her mouth to his, she kills him. So there's an example of how he may seem, oh, very nice. Oh, this girl is very nice, very beautiful. She wants to kiss me. Oh, very nice. And then dead. But Krishna is nice outside and nice inside. Therefore, one meaning of Hiranyagarbha is he who delights everyone's heart. Very, very happy to know Krishna and be with Krishna. Also, he lives, he's within the garbha, he's within the golden place. So his abode is also, he who lives in a very nice abode, his place is very nice. He is the origin of all that is desirable, taking gold here to represent that which is very pure and very attractive and that which gives benefit, of course, in this material world. Gold is, especially in Kali Yuga, gold is a source of much trouble. What do you think? It's your whole life and business, but now you got out of that business, is it? We're still going on. But in Kali Yuga, the all vice rests in gold. And Kali is allowed to reside where there is gold. Of course, some gold is required also for women, especially women and men previously. It's without any gold, then it's not auspicious. Some gold should be there on everyone's body. That is Vedic culture. But Krishna, he's all the gold is with him. So in Krishna, there's no bad quality which goes with that. So everything that is desirable comes from Krishna. And Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the meaning again. How it's derived exactly, I don't know. That he is knowledge. He is the goal of knowledge, and he is approached by cultivation of transcendental knowledge. So again, a quite different meaning. The next name is Shatrughna, which is a very well-known name because he's one of the three brothers of Lord Rama, and he's the personality of Godhead. None of the commentators mentioned here give this meaning. In other, not all sampradayas recognize the three brothers of Rama to be directly Vishnu. Although in the Valmiki Ramayana, at least the edition coming from Gita Press, and Gita Press make a point to make their editions authoritative in terms of the original text, but there may be different recensions of the text also. But anyway, the name is easy enough to understand. Shatru means enemy, and Gna means who destroys. So the destroyer of enemies, and that name may come in various ways, such as Ripugna, Ripuha, Arindama, in various ways that name is said in Sanskrit, who kills the enemies. So definitely... the Supreme Lord, he comes to this world, vinashayata dushkritam. He has no enemies, but people consider him to be an enemy, so he reciprocates with them. Yayata mang prapadyante tangs tathaiva bhajami aham. He's famous for killing enemies. Maybe in all the pastimes of Rama, the most famous is his killing of Ravana, which is the purpose he came to, the purpose he came to this world, the express purpose which he came to this world for. And of course, he killed many other demons along the way. And various commentators give that he kills the demon. Balade Vidyabhushan also gives that he kills lust, greed, and these are the enemies. Who are our enemies? Shararipu, sometimes that says. Six. We all have six enemies. Who's that? Ravana, Hiranyakashipu. No. The enemies are lust, kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya. Lust, greed, anger, envy, pride, and lobha, moha, mada, illusion. So these are the six enemies. So he kills them. By remembrance of him, all bad things go away. Avismriti Krishna Padaravindayo. No. And this Avismriti Krishna Padaravindayo. What is it? Look it up. Now I forgot it. Chashang Shanoti Avismritihi Krishna Padaravindayo. From the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. Shantanoti brings in all auspiciousness. I'm forgetting the words before that. From 11th canto of Bhagavatam. By avismriti means not visits. Vismriti means forgetfulness, so I mean non-forgetfulness of the lotus feet of Krishna. Sadvasya Shuddhim Paramatma. What is it? Krishna Padaravindayo. Kshinotya Bhadrani. That's it. By remembrance of him, all the bad things are destroyed. Chachantanoti, and all good things arise. Then Sattvasya Shuddhim Paramatma Bhaktim Jnanam Cha Vijnanam Viraga Yuktam. Yeah. So, time to revise my shlokas. Avismriti Krishna Padaravindayo Kshinotya Bhadrani Chachang Shanoti Sattvasya Shuddhim Cha Paratma Nishtam. It's not Paramatma, it's Paratma, is it? It says there Paramatma? Oh. Paramatma Nishtam Jnanam Cha Vijnana Viraga Yuktam. So he not only destroys the enemies, but nourishes all the good qualities. He destroys the enemies of the gods. Indrari. That verse is there. That ete chang shakala pungsa Krishna's tu bhagavan swam indrari vyakulam lokam ridyanti yuga yuga. So he kills the enemies of the gods. Shatrughna, maybe of all the four brothers in Ram Lila, he's maybe the one we hear less about. Ram, of course, is the we hear a lot about, and Lakshman also, because he was with Rama in the forest and accompanying him. Bharat we hear about because he was the whole idea of Kaikeyi was to give Bharat the throne, so his devotion to Rama in not taking it and offering it to Rama and then administering the state in the name of Rama, that's also, so he's number one featured in Ramayana is Rama, number two is Lakshman, number three is Bharat, and Shatrughna we don't hear so very much about. Not that he's not important. But everything is given in brief because there's so much, and his pastimes are unlimited, and we have limited capacity to understand or even time to hear about. So Shatrughna is not unimportant, but as it happens, less is stated about him. He also, on the order of Rama, founded the city of Mathura. Destroyed some demon over there. What was the name of that demon? Lavanasura, was it? And founded the city of Mathura. So setting up things well in advance for Krishna's coming. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.